Good morning, church. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it, even though I know that in a million years, none of us could have imagined that now for the second week in a row, we would not be gathering in our building on a Sunday morning, and that I would be pre-recording Sunday sermon from my study at home. I know it's certainly unsettling to see how suddenly our lives and our lifestyles have changed. And doesn't that just confirm the truth of God's word about the uncertainties of life? I think this crisis is an awakening to how so many of our paradigms really need to change. As much as we think we're in control of our lives, we really are not. Doesn't James admonish us, "Look here, you who say today or tomorrow, we are going to a certain town and we will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow?" What you ought to say is, "If the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that." Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. But I believe, Christian friends, that among many other things that the Lord is teaching us in this season, there's another very important paradigm that needs to change. And that is that the church of Jesus Christ is not the four walls of a building. That was never the case in the New Testament, and it was never intended to be that way. You will recall that the first church in the book of Acts experienced exponential growth as a result of the persecution that came when, according to Acts 8 and verse 1, they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria. And furthermore, the persecution not only sent the church to Judea and Samaria, but according to Acts 11 and 19, they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. We see that what the enemy intended for evil by having Stephen martyred, God used it for good, because now the good news of the gospel was preached in regions that were well beyond the walls of Jerusalem, where the New Testament church was born. And I believe that this pandemic is giving us an unprecedented opportunity for the advancement of God's kingdom. A friend just sent me the photo of a t-shirt that was imprinted with these words, "The church has left the building." And you know, that is truly wonderful news, because God never intended the church to be about the building. The church of Jesus Christ is not bricks and mortar. But Peter tells us clearly in his epistle, "And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple." You know, in the original language, the word for church is ekklesia, and it literally means the called out ones. And I believe that through this situation and this shutdown of our churches, that we're seeing as a terrible crisis. I can't go to church on Sunday morning. That grieves us, doesn't it? But we're being reminded now that our primary calling is not to warm a pew on Sunday morning, but rather to understand that God has called us out of the four walls of 1105 High Street, so that in this world we can be his voice, his hands, and his feet. Church, I believe God wants us to know that he has given us this opportunity for the church to have its finest hour. And while darkness covers the earth with even more devastation that is yet to come, God's word tells us that it will come indeed. But for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we already know that the last chapter has been written, and we win. So while we're praying for an end to this COVID-19 pandemic, let's also be praying, "Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Yes, I know that this shaking is unsettling, but we must understand that God is sovereign and that He is at work in the midst of it all. You know, sadly today, many Christians have become so focused on this pandemic. They're tuned into the 24/7 media news coverage to keep abreast of the latest. But watching the news is only exacerbating fear and anxiety, while at the same time, we're not giving any thought to, God, what are you up to? What are you saying through all of this? Can I ask a rhetorical question this morning? Has that thought ever crossed your mind? I'm not asking, what is God saying to America? But rather, what is God saying to you? What is God saying to me? God's word declares that all that can be shaken will be shaken. Why? So that what cannot be shaken will remain. And what cannot be shaken, my friends, is God's unshakable kingdom. That must become the unshakable foundation of our faith, and it will hold us steadfast in the fiercest storms of life. Today, we need to look beyond what we see, the coronavirus, its devastation. We need to look beyond even the emotions of fear and unbelief that get stirred up in us when we hear about the growing number of those who have contracted this virus or have even died from it. And we need to see beyond all of that and focus on what will encourage and strengthen our faith. And so, briefly this morning, I want to do just that. And I want us to see four aspects of God's unshakable kingdom. The first is this: the throne of God can never be shaken. If you're wondering where you should be reading in the scripture right now, of course, I've been recommending Psalm 91, Psalm 46, Psalm 121, but Revelation 4 and 5 gives us a beautiful picture of what is going on in heaven right now. It's a glorious sight as we see our Creator God seated on His throne, unmoved and all-glorious, ruling and reigning in the affairs of this earth. And because He is seated on that throne, He is in absolute control. Nothing that is taking place on this earth is taking Him by any surprise. And as He rules and reigns, the scripture tells us, of His kingdom, there shall be no end. So come what may, God's throne will remain certain and secure. The psalmist spoke of this in Psalm 45 when he said, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom." Make no mistake about it. All that God wills, all that God has purposed, is by His nature of being a righteous, a holy, and a just God. We read in Lamentations, "But you, O Lord, are King forever, and will reign to the and will rule to the end of time." And then we read in Hebrews chapter 1, "You, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up like a garment. They will be changed, but you are the same, and your years have no end." Isn't that a tremendous encouragement to us as kingdom Christians to know that our God reigns? He is in control. He is seated on His throne. And when everything else is being shaken, the throne of God is secure. The second thing I want to encourage your faith by is that the Word of God can never be shaken. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." And Peter tells us clearly, the word of the Lord stands forever. Because of this reality, Christian friends, every time we open our Bibles and we read them, we can have the assurance of these three things. Number one, the promises of God's word can never be shaken. Someone has estimated that there are 30,000 promises in God's word. And the prophet of the Lord said, there has not failed one word of your good promise. Here's the guarantee. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. For all, let's underscore that word, all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. I was reading from the Passion Translation. So the promises of God can never be shaken. But the power of those promises and the power of the word of God can never be shaken. We're all familiar with Hebrews 4 and verse 12. The word of God is living and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Let me encourage you today to know that as you open the word and as you prayerfully read it, you are not reading black letters on white paper. You are reading the living, eternal word of God. You are reading words that are powerful words because they come forth from the very mouth of God. Have you ever stopped to consider the power that is inherent in the word of God? The Bible teaches us that the word of God has power to convict. And if you will look at the PowerPoint that is listed beneath the sermon on the website, you will find the references to these verses. It has power to convict. It has power to convert. It has power to cleanse. It has power to comfort. And oh, how we need that comfort in this time and day in which we are living, when our lives have been thrown into such turmoil. But there's comfort in the word of God. There's counsel in the word of God. Whatever we have need of is found in the word of God, and its power will never ever change. So then the challenge that comes to our hearts is this. If God speaks to us a convicting word, have I been convicted? If God speaks to me a converting word, changing my mind, changing my heart, am I cooperating with him and allowing myself to be converted? If it's a cleansing word, am I being cleansed? If it's a comforting word, do I receive its comfort? If it's a counseling word, do I act upon its wisdom? See, we could read the word of God, but we need to do more than just read it. It not only needs to enter into our minds as we think about intellectually what these words are saying, but we say, Holy Spirit, make them real to me that they might enter into my heart, that they might bring transformation to my very life. Thirdly, the prophecies of God's word can never be shaken. You know, one of the most amazing studies in the Bible is to see how so many prophecies that were spoken hundreds of years before they ever came to pass were proven to be true. There are 44 specific prophecies that foretold the Messiah's coming, how he would live, by what death he would die, and so many other details of his life, spoken hundreds of years before Jesus ever came to this earth, and yet each of them was perfectly fulfilled. I was reading one Bible scholar who claims that there are 500 prophecies in the Old Testament, and in his book, he proves how each and every one of them has come to pass. Amazing. That's the power of the prophetic word of God. What God says will come to pass. What God has spoken will come to fruition. Oh, and how we need to thank God that in a shaking world, we have a reliable chart and compass, the Word of God. It is truly a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Thirdly, the Church of God can never be shaken. And aren't you glad to know today that Jesus said, the gates of hell cannot prevail against my church. It is a church triumphant. I know that organized religion is being shaken on every hand. And I'm so glad that my claim is not to organized religion, but I belong to the body of Jesus Christ, the true church, and it will never be shaken. And fourthly, the child of God, you and I, also God has determined that in spite of what comes into our lives, what happens in this world, we are to stand strong and never be shaken. Because the Word of God tells us that Christ in us is our hope of glory. I love the promise in John 10 where Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Isn't that a glorious promise? As we think about the turmoil in the world, as we think about the devastation of COVID-19, you and I are held securely in the palm of the hand of our Master. And more than ever, the world needs to see that while everything else is shaken, that there are men and women who know Christ who are unshaken. And I believe that's why the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, so now, beloved ones, stand firm and secure. That's a word to the body of Christ today. Stand firm and secure. Live your lives with an unshakable confidence. That verse continues, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation. We know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord. Where's your mindset today? God says to you and to me, I want to prosper you in this season. I want to bless you in this season. I want to show you my secrets in this season. I want to reveal my will to you in this season. I want you to bear fruit in this season. Why? Because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruit that endures. That is why I am saying that this is to be the church's finest hour, because we have such a glorious opportunity to be a vibrant witness for Jesus Christ, that in the midst of this shaking that is taking place, our feet are planted firmly on the solid rock of Christ Jesus. Our faith is being fortified today in these four realities. God's throne is unshakable. God's word is unshakable. God's church is unshakable. And we as children of God are unshakable. Didn't the hymn writer capture it so well? As I believe he wrote words that just describe the season that we're in, but then he also pens the testimony of every believer. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Can you declare with me this morning, church? On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement that we receive from your word today. We pray that your word would enter into our hearts and put a rod of iron down our backs, that we might stand tall, that we might stand strong, that we would be vibrant witnesses for you. We pray that you would fill our hearts with your love today. Cause us, Lord, to find opportunities to express that love to others who are in need, to others who are feeling hopeless, to those who are experiencing fear and anxiety and dread. Lord, we have a reason for the hope that lies within us. And we pray that your church triumphant would arise today and recognize the opportunities that you've given us, that we in this hour can experience the greatness of your power as our faith is fixed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So seal your word to our hearts by your Holy Spirit today, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you.